Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have my two brothers, Taj and Terrell Jackson.
What's up, everyone?
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Taj.
Good.
We're good.
Trying to switch over to the Dede Jackson Foundation Twitter. Having problems.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, social man.
I know. Okay.
What's going on, Terrell? You're smiling.
I'm all right. I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was your week, Terrell?
My week, it was good. Actually, I had on Monday, I had Bryce's team party.
Okay, cool.
So it was good to see it. Not everyone made it. There was like three kids that couldn't make it. But it was good to see all the kids. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
See which kids wore their jerseys and which ones didn't.
You know what? It's funny because no one wore their jerseys. There was two kids that wore their jerseys.
Uh-huh.
And they were both my like rookie kids. And I.
And you.
Yep.
So there's three
of us.
Cool.
It was good though. It was good times.
Good. You guys have fun.
Yeah.
Tough season, but you ended it with fun.
Yeah. The last game was really good, so I'm happy about that.
Good. Good, good.
I can live with it.
Taj Jackson, how was your week?
It was great. Had my 4-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Congratulations,
by the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you can you talk about now what you did or
went to Solvang actually.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Which I had never really actually been there.
Mm-hmm.
Like been there. People are so nice there. Kind of embarrassing when you come like
embarrassing? How do you
Because like they're just friendly, you know, very friendly, very helpful and like they like people should be, basically, mm-hmm. and it's not like that in other places.
What'd you learn? Anything what you learn?
In terms of...
Not about people.
It's a slower pace of life, I think, right?
Yeah, I think that there's human interaction more. Like, I didn't see a lot of iPads and phones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's more of people talking to people. It was pretty cool.
Good.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, Sunday was Father's Day, and that was probably the highlight of my week. I didn't really do anything.
Nothing?
I just...
Really?
Literally just sat and...
But she also had Franny's birthday, TJ.
The 15th. Was that within a week? It was within a week?
It was 2 days before Father's Day. Don't forget that.
Okay, so that was on Friday. Let's think.
Geez.
We went out to eat. We went out to eat. We went to Stanley's, actually.
Oh, you spent some money.
Great. Yeah.
Wasn't Taco Bell or anything?
We went to Stanley's. And for all the listeners, Stanley's is a restaurant that has been around for a while here in the Valley, and then it was closed down. Then it reopened, but it's something that's kind of sentimental to my brothers and I because it's a place where we used to always order food when we were in the studio.
Meetings.
And also where we go to eat for meetings and stuff. So it's very popular. We love the drumettes there. So
we're not sponsored by them.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by
them. They want to sponsor us. That's another thing. But yeah, Stanley's is good.
But yeah, so we went to Stanley's for Francis' birthday. And then Father's Day was just chill. Okay. So that was my week.
That's good.
Interesting. So, all right, let me give the disclaimer. We are not like... None of you guys are going to do this, right?
No.
No.
Of course.
What do I
have you guys here for? All right. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us. Of course, as every week, we are live on the Power of Love radio show. So if you're listening, thanks for joining us. There's Twitter that you can always tweet any questions, comments, or anything you have for us. Taj, you want to get the Twitter handle?
Sure. It's at, and then the letters DDJ and Foundation.
And then the phone number where you can call in is 323-203-0815. Again, questions on topic, preferably. I don't really care about Terrell's favorite color or what Taj's favorite snack is, just questions on top. Our callers have always been great though, so maybe been a little
Terrell,
aggressive.
What is your favorite color?
Blue?
Yeah, I like blue. I have a lot of favorite colors actually. Okay. But blue's one of them, yeah.
Okay, so that was pretty much the intro, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
What's
your favorite snack?
Anything chocolate.
Yeah, Todd likes flakes.
Anything chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, Terrell's going to lead off with what we're going to talk about today. So go for it, Terrell.
So we had a wonderful guest last week.
Mm-hmm.
And after the show ended, we discussed, because there's, well, let's
yeah. So Lynn Bresnahan is back with us. We got great feedback from all our listeners. So she accepted the invitation to come back today. And what's cool about Lynn is that, obviously, from if you listened last week, she's very inspiring and she's experienced, so she's went through a lot in life. And although we knew this particular thing about Lynn, we didn't want to talk about it in the last show because we felt, you know, breast cancer it was enough to handle a show. So, Terrell, go ahead.
No, just because we were limited on time, and I knew that this would be a strong subject and carry us again for another great show. And also, if there was any callers out there that had questions that didn't get through last time, we can follow up. But obviously, Lynn, I went to school with your daughter.
Yes.
And best friends, all three of us grew up with Louie Taffia.
Y'all laugh like each other, too.
Yeah. Louie? We're
yeah,
like brothers,
especially
man.
Terrell and Louie. I mean, when I listen to you, it sounds just like Louie.
Wow. Yeah, Louie and I are like twins. But
that's cool.
Basically, though, there's a whole other page on something that I think would be great because our foundation and our thing is about the radio show is about living dealing with people with loss and grief and obviously I kind of want you to talk about it about Mara and her upbringing and the things that her and Michael went through. And I thought it would be great to discuss that and open it up and also get a viewpoint from a mother's side.
Well, as a mother, having my children lose a parent was probably the most difficult time in my entire life. I was not with their father when he died, but just the whole situation. When you're a parent, you've got to be selfless. And it was devastating because, well, I think your mother died, right? Mm-hmm, she died, mm-hmm. And one day she's there, and the mm-hmm. next day she wasn't. And my kids were with their dad the night before, and they all went out to dinner. And Mara actually was moving in with Howard for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next day, you know, they came home that night, and I went to work. And Mara was home. Michael was at school, summer school. And Mara calls me hysterical and says, "Daddy's dead."
Mm.
And Howard's, the people in his life then, just called my daughter and said, "By the way, your father died last night."
Mm.
So I went racing home. And how do you do that to a child? Okay, so she was already in shock.
Sorry, real quick. How old was Mara?
Mara and Michael. Michael was 17. Mara was 15.
Yeah, we're
how old
yeah.
were you guys
we're
when your mom
grade.
Died?
Yeah. I remember the time.
I was 16, 19, and 21.
Yeah.
So, listen, I don't care what age you are.
Yeah.
You as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when
your
there's
world.
No time to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
No time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home. Mara was just in shock. She was just kind of hysterical and you know, out of it. And so I called Michael's school and I said, "Send my son home. Please do not tell him." I told them what was going on. And Michael was sent home and he came in and he said, "Mom, what's going on?" You know, he thought he didn't really know what was going on. And I mm-hmm. sat him down and I so remember this. It breaks my heart. He was sitting in a chair and I knelt down at his knee, on my knees. And I said, "Michael, I need to tell you something." And he said, "What?" And I said, "Your dad died." And at that mm. moment, I saw the light go out in his eyes. I saw the light go out, period.
Mm-hmm.
He was just staring. That was the worst day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
do you go from there? I mean, how did you guys react when you...
It's similar. You know, it's numb. You feel like... I lost a lot of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like... the purpose of living would just snatched away.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like pretty much you feel in a way lifeless or purposeless. You don't really care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my response to it. Do you guys have a different response?
No, it's the same. It's you're almost like you go into this whole thing where you're drifting and you just You're not, everything's numb, mm-hmm. you know.
Kind of out-of-body experience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. You see people, they're mm-hmm. coming up and saying sorry and giving you hugs, and it's just all just not registering, and you're just, it feels like a bad dream. It feels like a bad dream, and you just, you want to wake up from it. I remember sleeping on grandma's couch, and they're just hoping, you know, I finally went to sleep a little bit, and I was hoping I would wake up and it would all be yeah. false, you yeah. know? And it was just an awful feeling.
It's a devastating feeling. And I have to take care of my kids mode, mm-hmm. period. There was no question. And their father and I were good friends, so it wasn't like it was, you know, a bad situation.
Let me ask you this, Lynn. Because this is something that I experienced, and I want to know if your kids experienced a bit, and if so, how did you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
I was actually a really good student. I was really on things. And then when my mom passed, it's not that I purposely became a bad student, but I think the lack of care started to affect mm-hmm. my grades mm-hmm. and affect probably my attitude. Not crazy. I wasn't a bad kid, but it wasn't the same. So my first question is, did any of your kids kind of change just more like from a personality aspect or how a respect aspect? And if so, whether it's in school or with you, and if so, what was your approach and how did you handle that? Did you kind of just let them do it or did you try to correct it or was it an opportunity?
Well, first thing I did was go into therapy so that I could be the right parent. So I'm going to say there's yeah. no way I could have done what I did to help my children without the help. I am not a professional.
So you went into therapy for yourself or with your kids or
no,
for them?
No, I went into therapy for myself to be a better parent through the situation.
That's great.
Michael has always been into sports. You know, he yeah. lives through baseball. So he threw himself into that. Mara was very different. Mara was angry, and she lashed out at me. She stopped caring about her school. Mm-hmm. She stopped caring about everything. As a matter of fact, I talked to her about this, and she gave me permission. She said to me one day, you know, it should be you in the ground instead of Daddy. Mm. She was so angry. But, you know, when kids are abused or they lose a parent, the only one you've got left is the other parent to... Mm-hmm. Where are you going to put your
yeah,
anger?
To lash out.
And so, thank God I did get help because I said to her, look, I love you and I know that you're hurting. I didn't take it personally. There's no room to take anything personally as a parent.
Lynn, that's so commendable to me, though. I don't think that's the norm. I mean, I think a parent who has kids and you know that they lost their parent, I think you understand there's you got to be easy. But at the same time, going to therapy for you, to me, was such a smart thing. I don't think I would do that, you know? And I think that's such a smart thing to kind of prepare you for everything. So when you hit these troubling times, you have someone to talk to and who's been there. And I commend you for that. Well, that's huge.
Thank you. TJ, I didn't have a choice. I knew that I wasn't qualified to deal with this situation. So when Mara said that to me, I knew she was hurting beyond anything that she'd mm-hmm. ever experienced. So I said to her, look, I know that you're angry and I get it, but here's the deal. You either go to therapy with me and we work this out, or I'm going to put you in boarding school and mm-hmm. you're going to lose your horses, because she was riding at mm-hmm. the time for Buckley, because this isn't healthy. We have to take your anger and we have to work with it. You can't let a child, and as a parent, I wasn't going to let her let this anger eat her up. Mm-hmm. I had to be the strong one. And I remember Michael saying to me, Mom, are you going to lose it? Because if you lose it, we don't have a parent. And that really just hit me on the side of the head. And I said, no, I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to be there for you guys no matter what. So Mara agreed to go to therapy. And, you know, things were better. She was still angry, obviously. But we were able to deal with it, and if she wanted to bash me, at least we did it in the therapist's office, and there was a third person who was not emotionally involved to guide both of us, and we did.
Now, did Michael do any therapy?
No, Michael refused to go to therapy. Yeah. He absolutely would not do it, and he just used his baseball. Mm-hmm. He was in public school at the time at uni, mm-hmm. and his coach took him in under his wing and was a father figure to him. And we had another gentleman that worked for their father that kind of, that's still in their lives now. And so Michael just wanted to handle it the way he wanted to handle it.
We never went to therapy.
You didn't?
No.
No.
And it's a similar thing. I mean, if it was presented to me, I probably would have refused
Why?
As well. You know, at least for us, I'm going to try to answer this on our behalf. For us, two things. Number one, I think we had good support system. I think we had baseball and friends and stuff to help us, kind of like in Michael's way, to take under our wings. We had good. We had our uncle and our father, which were huge.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of thing is, I don't know if you guys feel the same, but a lot of us feel like it's an issue with, I think, being having this last name. You feel like people are being just nosy.
Yes, of
course.
It's a trust issue.
Yes,
and I didn't. It wasn't necessarily that for me. For me, it was more. I didn't think I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had my dog, you know, who I could talk to and
absolutely.
And you know, wouldn't judge or you know whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get it out that way. And I had my brothers and friends and others. So I didn't feel I needed it as much. And in a weird way, I still don't feel like I need it. But I want to make sure every listener knows that I do suggest you go to therapy, mm-hmm. even though I didn't and I feel like I'm okay. I think it's not a bad idea to go at least once to try it, you know, and go completely open mind, because I think it's really healthy to get everything out and to have that other person.
I think for me at the time, just growing up, I think the word therapy meant like
something's
wrong. Something's
right?
wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
you need help. Like
right.
either mentally you're messed up, or it was just a bad thing, therapy. Not for those that didn't know therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like you had issues. You need therapy. It was like a bad thing, quote unquote.
Sure.
And then, you know, obviously when mom passed, it's an excuse. Like, obviously you need therapy, but I didn't feel... I dove into music.
Mm-hmm.
I just really dove into the music. I was playing piano all the time, and I was writing, and of course I had my brothers, I had my friends, I had baseball, I had my uncle, I had my family. But I would also say a lot of it, even now, is trust. Trust is really hard for us with our name. Just you see so many things. You see so many people betray, you know, for money. They sell stories, this and that. And
mm-hmm.
it's hard to open up to a quote-unquote stranger and tell everything, how you feel, this and that, and open up completely when in the back of your mind you have they're going to take that and sell it.
Mm-hmm. It's also the judgment. You know, it's hard because you feel like they're going to judge. Or
who's going to judge?
The therapist. And not only are they going to judge, but they're going to share the information. It's like, you know what I mean?
Which they legally
cannot.
Which
they legally
can't.
But
they do.
But I would bet they
I'm
would.
Sure.
With you guys.
And maybe it's innocent. Maybe they're sharing with their wife or their family, and then they share. And then it's that kind of thing where you don't really... And it's not just the trust of the information. It's just the trust
mm-hmm.
that they'll keep everything, you know, disclosed.
You know, Mara's a therapist now, as you know, and... She doesn't disclose anything that goes on at school, and she doesn't disclose it to Louie or anybody else. I mean, that's unfortunate that's happened. And fortunately or unfortunately for you guys, having the last name of Jackson carries a lot of stuff that most people, baggage. Nobody cared about the name Green at the time, so I didn't have that issue.
Yeah.
But I understand, and that's why it's so important to lean on the people that you know in your circle. And, you know, and stay with that.
How did Mara take your proposal?
She was really angry with me.
Okay.
She was angry. As a matter of fact, in those days, if you swatted your kid, you didn't go to jail for child abuse. And she had my handprint on her face one day.
Mm.
It was just like, you know.
Yeah.
And she was acting out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women, mothers teach their daughters how to be feminine. But fathers... show them how to feel feminine. So when you lose that parent of the opposite sex, it brings up all sorts of stuff, especially when you're teenagers. And so she was missing it. And she was running around too much and getting into trouble, and not horrible trouble, but things that she shouldn't have been doing. And, you know,
it's tough.
You know, and I look back now and I go, wow, I have this amazing daughter who's this incredible human being.
And all of us will second it. But I deal with Mara a lot, as a lot of my kids and cousins have to go through Mara, being the school therapist. But Mara's been a huge help for me. And she is an amazing person, and so smart, and so patient, and she's just awesome.
Thank you. I'm really proud of them, both of them. Yeah. And I think that losing a parent makes you a better parent, don't you?
I do. The thing that's tough, I mean, Terrell will echo this, but for me, it's just tough that we lost a huge grandmother for our kids, and our mother was such a loving and she loved kids and always involved in our lives. So it that's the painful thing for me now, is that my kids don't have that grandmother who would have been so caring in a female way, in a maternal way.
Yeah, Dee Dee would have been an amazing grandmother. She was an amazing mother.
So that's the hardest thing for me at this point. I think Tara would agree. You know, we have kids that are doing sports, and my mother would have been there and helped them out and helped us out, you know? So that's the toughest thing.
I understand.
The thing also for me, and I do this a little maybe too much, and I actually did it this morning, I have a fear of... It's not like a fear of death, but I get worried about my children. You know what I mean?
Because
it happened so quickly for me. All of a sudden, I had no mother. Mm-hmm. So there are times where I think, if it's my time, what happens to my kids? How are they gonna move on? How are they gonna deal with it? You know, and that scares me. You know, they're extremely young. They're 9 and 6 now, but.
Sure.
That thought, I can't lie, that thought goes through my head, because my mom was taken so instantly, you know? So that's something that I always think about, you know?
Well, I understand. However, as a mother, talking to you, because you're the same age as my kids, if you don't live in the now and stop worrying about the what happens and what ifs, you're not going to enjoy every day, Terrell.
No, you know what? Actually, thinking like that, I think that forces me even more so to live in the now. Like I really I take advantage of every day I have with them.
Good.
Because I've experienced it. I've experienced my mom just one day she's here, the next she's gone. So I have that mindset that it can happen any second. You know, they can be taken away from me, I can be taken away from them. So a lot of things, I think you said earlier, losing a parent makes you a better parent. I think when somebody goes through loss, period, I think it changes their whole outlook on life.
I agree.
You know, when you go through something, when you experience loss, it's like you can lose a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, but when you lose a mother or a father or a parent or a sibling, that's a different type of loss. You know, that's a loss that's not coming back, or that you can't, you know, have a different type of relationship or move on from. You just have to deal with it and learn to live with it. So
it's tough. And in my situation, just a few months before Howard died, the kid's father, my brother committed suicide. And so I had a double whammy. And so, you know, everybody has something. We all have something. But, you know, when I mentioned the book last week, Return to Love, if you take fear out of the equation, your life feels differently.
Like, and you're empowered a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I wish I knew then what I know now, obviously. But saying to you now what you just said to me, Terrell, take fear out of the equation, and you will just enjoy them so much more.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that way? Like, especially after Howard passed, did you ever think that I'm their only parent, and what happens if something happens to me? What was that like?
It's still occasionally I say, you know, I have to, you know, when I was going through the breast cancer and everything, and I was thinking, oh my God, my kids lost one parent. You know, this is unacceptable. I have to be okay. And even though they're grown, you know, Michael's 44, Mara's 42, they still count on me. And I am there. I am a rock for my children. I always will be. And I don't have the luxury of sitting and thinking, well, you know, something's going to happen. I don't, because I don't ever want to think that way. Mm-hmm. Take fear out of the equation, and it just makes it better.
Mm, I love that. Taj, you got anything, man? You good?
No, I think...
You look like this is really impacting you.
We went into parent talk. He's not there yet.
No, I was just listening to everything. For me, losing mom was losing purpose, because I think for her, I did stuff to please her in terms of to make her proud, like in terms of my school, my goals, the music even. And so you really are... Once she was gone, it was more of, you had to find it within yourself to continue those things. And I think that was, we threw ourselves into 3T, and because we were halfway through with the album at that point, and we did dedicate the album to her, and we wanted to finish it in her honor. I think if we wouldn't have had that goal or have that music goal, we probably would have been in worse shape, because we wouldn't have had something to... us unite as brothers and knowing that. So I think that we were lucky in that way too, of having something to, as you said with Michael, having something to
latch onto.
Like sure. with him, it was baseball. We had our music to latch onto, and that kind of turned the corner. But when mom passed, I went into that, that rock. Yeah, I had to be the rock for everyone, because I felt like she had always told me, "You're the oldest,
right.
You have to,
be there for your brother." Are you happy she told you that, though?
Well, I always felt like, even though I don't act the oldest, that's very
that's
common.
Funny.
I've always acted like the youngest, but my mom would always say, "You're the oldest, take care of your brothers." And she would always, I get more in trouble for not taking care of them, even if they were wrong, than just because I had to be the older brother. So that was my duty, I felt like, that my mom had told me to do, so.
Well, how lucky for them that you did that.
But
you had each other, that was...
Yeah,
we had a tight-knit, as brothers and stuff like that, and I think our mom she instilled that in us, so it's good. I mean, I appreciate it now, because when you're younger, you don't realize family's, so important.
Lynn, did your approach to parenting or the way you parent change at all? And if so, how?
You mean when Howard died?
When Howard passed.
No, I always felt that I was going, because I didn't come from a loving family, so I was the opposite of what my parents were. And I knew I would be, and I don't know. It's just instilled in me. I mean, children don't ask to be born. Mm-hmm. You have children, and you have a responsibility. And I wanted them, and I made them my priority. And certainly after their father died, I put my life on hold until they were okay.
Mm-hmm. Did your discipline or the way you disciplined change? Were you more easy on them or not necessarily?
No, I think I was probably harder on them, but much harder on Mara. Mm-hmm. Because she was the one that was acting out, so I really had no choice. Mm-hmm. But I must have done something right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the two of them are my, they show that I did something right.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I have two incredible kids. Yes. And so something happened that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you never became more lenient or soft or anything?
Oh, no. They will tell you. No. No, as a matter of fact, I remember when Michael was... 16, he was in high school, and 17, it was after Howard died, and he wanted to go to a party. And so I said, well, are the parents going to be home? He had a car, and he said, well, I don't think so. I said, well, then you're not going. He goes, well, what do you mean? I'm 17 years old. I said, I don't care. You're not going to a party unless I know there's going to be parents there. Mm-hmm. Fine, I'm not going. Okay, you cry. Better you cry than me.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That was the end of it.
Yeah.
See, that's great. So... I think it's important to like you said, both your kids are amazing.
Thank you.
Adults.
Mm-hmm. Well, so are you guys. Your mother did something very right, and your father. So
thank you.
Really,
thank
you. You guys are delightful.
I think that's an important thing, though, is because I think a lot of parents out there, if their children lose a parent, I feel a lot of them would become incredibly lenient or feel bad for them,
right,
and try to, in a way, cater to them.
No, kids need boundaries. I don't care what's going on in their lives. Children need boundaries. Because I think, my opinion is, they feel safe when they know the parent is setting a boundary. And I think most psychologists will tell you that. So if your kids are running you around, there's something wrong here. But no, I set very strong boundaries.
And they will be tested.
The children test them.
They do.
I'm not saying they didn't make me crazy.
Yeah, it's a good thing I don't drink.
Yeah. All right, we're live.
Oh, wait, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you said that you had to put your life on hold, you know, when did you realize, okay, now they're in good hands, or now I can relax a little?
When Mara graduated high school and turned her life around as far as grades and everything. I knew Michael was on the right path, but it was really Mara that I was concerned about. She's going to kill me.
That's okay.
Mara's cool. Mara and
she's cool.
Mara and I were often in the same classes. We were competing.
Okay, so you know.
We were slightly behind in a couple courses, but
so you know
still got,
what was going on. Okay, yeah. So as soon as Mara graduated high school and she got into college, then I knew that she could be on her own, and then I was free to breathe.
Got it.
So Michael's grades are not, well, because Michael went to Penn, correct?
He went to Penn, yes. Wow.
So he stayed, he never really...
Michael never wavered from that. He knew what he wanted, and he never wavered. And I don't know why. It's just who he is.
Quick question. With all that Mara went through, do you think, because obviously she's a therapist, do you think this... the experiences she went through had an impact on her choice of profession and what she wanted to do?
You know, that's a good question, TJ. I don't even know. I mean, Terrell, sorry.
Yeah, I want the credit.
Yeah, that was a great question. I was going to let her roll with TJ.
No. Okay, sorry. Terrell, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't know.
I think so.
Do you?
I do. I think so. I think Mare's a very smart person, so I think Mare probably saw the effect it had on her life and how it helped her life, and probably wanted to do something for others in that way.
Well, you know what? This is a good question. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Good question,
I definitely think so. Okay, we're live here on the Power of Love show. If you like to call us, please do so at 323-203-0815. I've opened up the phone lines. So if you have any questions for us or... Sorry, I have to clear my throat.
Yeah, what was that?
Or Lynn Bresnahan, and we're talking about being a parent of a child who lost their parent. So basically, did I say that right?
It's yes, I think you did.
Being the other parent.
The other parent.
The other parent.
The one that's
The one that's left of when your child is a parent.
To him.
It is hot in here, right?
Now, I have one more question.
You can have
it is hot.
Because it's very similar. Divorce. How did that, first of all, how did that impact the children? Because that's something that we experience as well. We experienced divorce before losing a parent.
Right.
So
that was really hard. It was really, really hard. But Howard and I knew that we would not use the children in any way to interfere in or use them as a pawn. You know, we didn't have that kind of separation. And the kids were a priority. Unfortunately, he married somebody that didn't really want the kids around, and it was a problem. And it hurt Michael terribly. Mara had me, but Michael didn't have his dad when he wanted. So that was tough, but we got through it. And then Howard dying just was the icing on the cake as far as changing his life.
How much time was there between that? Between divorce and then losing the parent?
Oh, the kids were 6 and 8, so there was a lot of time.
Okay.
How much time was there with your parents?
About
3 years? 2 years?
No, about five or six.
Yeah, probably 4 or 5. But yeah,
13-year-old all-stars to 19.
Well, how did you guys do when your parents separated?
That was
horrible for me.
Yeah, it was difficult.
It was, and I always feel not guilty for saying this, and I always feel like that loss hurt me, not more, but in a way more. When my parents divorced, it was my first loss in life, and you know, my life was a fairy tale, you know, and that divorce seeing the two people you love the most not get along or not be on the same page.
Sure.
And fighting is something I never liked. Mm-hmm. Don't.
Did they fight a lot in front of you?
You know what it is? I don't know if it was a lot, but it was enough for a kid. And for mm-hmm. someone like me who you know, was Disneyed
you don't
out.
You understand what's going on.
Yeah, you're seeing the world perfectly. Yeah, everything's wonderful.
Sure.
So even one fight could be enough. I don't think it was a lot of fighting, but there was at least a couple I can remember, mm-hmm. and it was horrible for me.
That's the worst thing you can do in front of a child, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You don't fight in front of children.
So what happened was that was the biggest shocker for me, mm-hmm. the biggest pain for me, so that when my mother passed, I was already kind of hardened, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. You know, I was already more mature and I was hardened in life. So although it was incredibly painful and still is, I was more cynical in life, if that mm-hmm. can make sense. So it opened it up for.
Sure.
But
I understand that.
Yeah.
That's good points. I forgot what I was going to say, though.
Okay. And you know what, Blynn? I didn't know that you lost your brother mm-hmm. just prior to losing Howard.
Yeah.
Do you mind talking about losing your brother?
No, not at all. You know, there's a drug called Accutane, and people use it for acne. Mm-hmm. And it's a very strong drug, and all of us had acne in our family. And they put my brother on the medication, and he was in the Navy, actually, and he was out to sea. You're supposed to have your blood levels checked, and you should be seeing a doctor regularly when you're on it. And it didn't come to everybody's attention until about 14 years ago. There was a senator's son, and he was 13, and he was on the cover of People. He committed suicide. The drug causes depression or pushes you over the edge. Mm-hmm. And being an esthetician, I'm very into natural ways of healing acne mm-hmm. and whatever other skincare problems. But anyway, my brother was on the Accutane, and he was not checked. The Navy did not check him, and he came back.
Was that protocol then, or was it something that they missed?
They missed it.
Okay.
And he came back and went to a hotel and took his life.
Mm.
So, you know, now the drug companies have warnings. You hear it all the time. You know, it may cause depression, suicidal thoughts, whatever. So that's what happened. But he was only 44.
When that happened, did you talk to your kids about that situation? Do you remember?
Like, yes.
Did you sit them down and explain to them what happened? And
sure. Well, they were. You know, it was right before Howard died, so they were 15 and 17 at the time. But you know, I think they were old enough to understand. If they had been really young, that would have been a different issue.
Yeah. Now, how did you handle those months? And what did you do for you?
I didn't do anything for me. I had to deal with my parents, who lost a child. I was the oldest. My mother was not stable, so I had to... Boy, I sound like a mess, don't I?
No,
I had I did have a tough life with family and everything.
How many siblings do you have? Just
I have one brother left.
Okay, so
he's the youngest. He was seven years younger, and my brother Scott is 7 years younger. Steve was 2 years younger. So no, my parents went into this mm-hmm. hysteria, mm-hmm. and I was the only one left to deal with it. So I
were you
didn't
always
have a
strong, Lynn?
You know what, TJ? I don't know how to answer that. I didn't think I was. But then every time something happens,
I stand
up to it, I guess.
Yeah. You're very
what am
resilient.
I at, like nine lives.
You're just resilient. You're resilient, Lynn.
Maybe because of my upbringing and not...
Where were you raised?
I was raised part of my life in the Valley, and then for high school and everything, we moved to Beverly Hills. But I just didn't have loving parents. Not at all. And so you can either go two ways. You can either go the way they raised you and be like that, or you can come around and be a different person.
And what helped you come around?
I just... What,
you just knew you did not want to be that.
I just knew I wasn't going to be like them.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
You know, and my father is 92 now. My mother died from breast cancer. My dad is 92, and almost 92, and of course he doesn't remember because he's too old.
Yeah.
But I forgave him for the upbringing I had, because that just makes you crazy. Yeah, it makes you sick to hold on to anger.
We've done,
but I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I just know that life is good, and I have wonderful people and family and friends in my life, and I don't want to be one of those whiny midlife women who, you know, complain.
I commend you, Lynn. I really do. We have a phone call, so we should just. All right, who do we have on the phone with us?
Yeah, hi, TJ. It's Toya.
Hi, Toya. How are you doing?
I'm feeling a bit better when I hear your voice.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Just his voice?
Yeah, what about my... they didn't say nothing. She didn't say anything about you, Todd.
I know.
I'm calling because I was listening to the show and to Lynn's story about losing her her husband and about her divorce. And I'm calling because I need some support. I'm having a very hard time for a few weeks. You know, I had to face my divorce on court for the first time, and it was a very tough day. And today I received the judge decision about the child custody, and it said that our baby will go to his father's place during the half of the school holidays, and we have to start this summer. And I know it's a good thing that our son spent some time with his father, but not seeing my baby for 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know, it's just unbearable for me. I think he's too young to be separated from his mother, and I don't know, it's just, I'm feeling bad.
How old is your boy, Toria?
He's two and a half.
2.5 years old.
Mm. Yeah.
That's tough.
I don't know. It's just.
How long is he going to be with his father again?
Sorry?
How long is he going to be away from you with his father?
Oh, I think 2 or 3 weeks during summertime.
Just one period of time, or just during the summer?
No, it's during all the school holidays.
I see.
So during summer, and then. In October, and then in December, and
then you have anything?
I absolutely, my suggestion is, since I am not a therapist, that you do find somebody and you do go to a therapist to work this out for you, because your children will be okay, your child will be okay if you're okay. If you're not okay, he won't be okay. So I suggest that you get some professional help to deal with it, so that you're not putting your upset on your little boy.
Yeah,
they sense that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Todd, go ahead, Todd.
No, I was saying they sense that, you know, especially at that age, they absorb whatever you're going through or whatever feeling you're having. And this is
they can feel everything.
But I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can feel
the
it.
Energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's. I'm so happy you're here, Lynn, because I would have probably not suggest something different, but I would have. You know, my first instinct was you really need to talk with your ex, sit them down, and make sure that you. I'm going to ask why. Lynn's not agreeing with that.
Because there's some sort of anger and wall between parents when they separate anyway.
I think I'm just worried for Toria's situation. I want her to feel some sense of. It's okay, because I think her concern is that her ex isn't going to be able to take care of her boy the way she can.
That's why I say to empower herself, she needs to get some help.
Yeah, definitely look for some professional therapy, Toria. Your situation is a difficult one, but it's one that, you know, you're going to get through, and your boy's going to get through, but you want to do it the right way. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, I was wondering if you... there's any possibility that you could have, you know, visit during that
during
time.
During those times.
You know, maybe that's something
I was thinking about. I was thinking about going to a therapist, because I wanted to be stronger, but I'm not. I'm just feeling so bad, and I don't know. I'm not finding, I can't overcome the situation by myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you know what, there's a lot of strength in saying that, you know, and I think you have to empower yourself. I'm with Lynn on this. I'm completely behind her. I'm looking at her. She's an incredibly strong person who's went through a lot of tough moments. And what I think is so great, it's not that she relies, but she's very open to getting help and to reading positive things. So you got to be resilient and good for you, and then you can handle everything.
Now, I would also say to just try to focus as much as you can on the positive. I don't know you or the father, but there's a lot of fathers out there that don't want to be involved at all with their children. So I don't know the situation, but this is, you know, if you look at it from his perspective, it could be something, maybe he feels the same, that, you know, I only get a certain amount of time with my child. So it could be something positive. It depends how you look at it as well.
Awesome.
I know it may sound ridiculous because millions of people deal with this kind of situation and it's not a problem for them. But for me, it just break my heart to be separated from my baby, you know. I've waited so long to have him, and I don't want to lose even one day of his life. So it's just so hard for me to imagine just not being with him for 2 or 3 weeks. It's just
I think you might be incorrect. I think for everybody, I think it's hard at first. You just might see them now that they're okay with it, but at first it might have been difficult. And just like you, at first it might be difficult, but you know, with some help, professional help, and some time, maybe you'll be better with it.
Awesome.
Okay, I will.
Toria, thank you so much for your phone call.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be complaining.
Just no,
I needed
not at
your
all.
Support and
your
support means so much to me. So I wanted to call too.
We are with you, and you're never complaining.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. So you call whenever.
Thank you.
You have a beautiful night.
And be strong.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to say that to any of the listeners out there or callers that want to call, please don't feel like that. Just call, you know, talk. That's why we're here.
Absolutely.
That's the whole point.
We only have 5 more minutes, but we're going to take one more quick phone call. Mm-hmm. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, this is Tiffany from Texas.
Hey, Tiffany, how are you?
I'm fine. How are y'all?
Good.
Good. I like that, y'all.
What do you got for us, Tiffany?
It's more of a comment, really. I wanted to call in and talk about Miss Lynn.
Yes.
Just listening to her these last 2 weeks and, you know, hearing how she's strong. I believe you asked her, TJ, like how she's so strong. And it's really nice to listen to and find somebody else like that, because I'm sure you know, my situation with dialysis and everything that I've been through. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I've been asked the same question, like, you know, how are you so strong? How do you do that? And I really honestly don't have an answer for that. It's just like you pull something from yourself. It's like, else you, well, my experience is like, else you lay down and let life kick you, or, you know, you get up and try to pull yourself together and, you know, storm forward and make, you know, lemonade out of the lemons life hands you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really is inspirational to hear Miss Lynn talking about, you know, her own personal struggles with her health, and then losing her ex-husband, losing her brother, both within such a short span of time. And, you know, it really is, you know, she really is an inspiration. I really have been enjoying listening to her and hearing her input. And, you know, it's nice to know that there's somebody else out there that I guess I can kind of like say, oh, well, she's like me. And, you know, she made it.
Thank you. That is so sweet.
We agree, Tiffany, and thank you so much for saying that and commenting and calling in. And not only thank you for that, but thank you for always supporting us in the show. And how are you doing?
Me? Oh, I'm fine. I think I tweeted you earlier this week saying that I had another talented nurse in dialysis, so I'm doing fine.
Okay, good. Good. Well, we agree with you. Lynn's amazing, and that's why we had her back for a second week, because we knew she would really resonate with all of you, and we can't thank you enough, Lynn, for sharing your story and being an inspiration.
Well, Tiffany, you're my inspiration, seriously, with what you're going through, and we're just survivors, right?
Yes.
We just don't take what life gives us. We do, you know, you make lemonade out of lemons, and that is something that I really believe, so good for you.
Okay, thank you. Tiffany. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, sweetie. Thanks, take care, Tiffany. Okay?
Bye, all right, Tiffany.
Thank you.
Take care of
y'all. Have a nice day.
You too. I love the y'all.
Yeah. I love y'all too.
Everyone knows I love Texas, but Lynn, she's right. You're inspiration.
Thank you.
And not only for, you know, a lot of our female listeners, but you inspire me, Lynn.
Thank you.
You went through a lot in life, and you're a very strong person. And I know you're not perfect. I know you have your down moments, but you resonate a lot of positivity. And we did a show about that maybe a month ago. Was it that long? I don't know. But basically how you could bring people up or bring people down with mm-hmm. by walking into a room. And you do a great job bringing mm-hmm. people
thank
up.
Thank you, guys.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining
yeah.
us
I
for
love
the
it.
Second straight week.
I love being
and
able to share.
It means a lot. It means a lot, Lynn, so thank you. The Association, ADEC, the Association for Deaf Education and Counseling, is an international professional organization dedicated to promoting excellence and recognizing diversity in deaf education, care of the dying, grief counseling, and much more. So that's one resource, www.adec.org. If you're experiencing the loss of a loved one through death, or you're helping others get over or get through it, make sure you check out www.adec. Again, Lynn, thank you so much
thanks.
For joining. Taj, yeah. Terrell, do you guys have anything
no,
to
just,
close?
No. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you guys for allowing me to share.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, everyone try to stay cool. It's hot outside. Yeah, enjoy your week. We'll see you next week, next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Remember, think positive, be resilient, and be strong. All right? Much love, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.